Hey there, welcome back to the At Your Service podcast here on the Branson Podcast Network. Scott McCauley with you, and kind of back on track a little bit now as we have been catching up with the Stone County Community Health Coalition. We've had a couple of excellent programs we've done with them recently. I'll preview this a little bit now, but we are going to, on one of our next podcasts, have another returning guest. It'll be the Taney County Health Department. The WIC program is celebrating its 5th anniversary, and coming up on one of our future podcasts, we're going to talk about that. And I think Tammy Drake's going to be in from the Taney County Health Department. It'll be good to catch up with them. Been a while since we've had them on the At Your Service podcast. However, the regular, consistent feature is our weekly visit with the Missouri Department of Conservation, a little program we call the Conservation Report. And delivering this week's conservation report from Christian County, Michaela Leppard is back at our Grand Country studio. Michaela, good to see you again.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think it's been a while. Have you maybe once earlier this year? I think maybe you were here in January, possibly. I don't know. The time kind of flies when we get these going here.
Yes, I think maybe once. I know last time I was in, I had the protection volunteer with me.
Yeah, so that's right. I think that was early January. Yes, when we did that. And now here we're sitting in March. And how's everything in the world of conservation, especially in Christian County?
It's going good. Glad to see people out enjoying this nice weather we've had.
Yes, and for the most part, it's been nice. Now, earlier, we're recording this on the 22nd. Earlier this week, I did do a high school baseball game when the game time temperature was about 40 degrees and the wind chill about 28. That was a little nippy, but guess what? Yes. The next day, it was 73, and we kind of had that topsy-turvy weather continuing. Yes. But for the most part, I think we're on that positive pattern, which is a good thing, isn't it?
I hope so. I enjoy the 70-degree weather over the 40-degree weather.
Yes, so any day, any time, any place you go, that works for me.
Yes.
So let's kind of get going here. And I noticed that the first thing up on our list today is paddlefish. And I don't know, did I just see the Lake of the Ozarks had a record paddlefish?
You did.
Is that correct?
You did.
What? How? I saw that picture. That thing looked humongous. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it was actually taken out Lake of the Ozarks, a little far away from us, but still here in Missouri. It actually broke the state record and the world record. So we can say we've taken a world record paddlefish here in Missouri.
Wow, and that was up at Lake of the Ozarks. And how big was that thing? It was like...
I remember correctly, it was 164 pounds and 13 ounces.
Wow. I did remember seeing the picture of that on one of the other websites, and it's like that. I thought, when I first saw the picture, I said, okay, so what ocean were they on? No, they were on Lake of the Ozarks. So, but that just kind of shows you the type of paddlefish that you can get here in Missouri. Of course, there's been a lot of great ones caught over in Stone County as well, where a lot of it happens around Cape Fear and stuff. But
man. Definitely a big thing down in our part of the world. No, I was working opening day and saw a lot of anglers out there. Just excited as could be that it was opening day of paddlefish. So.
Yes. Well, and you know, it's interesting, and I was going to look this up on the internet because we did a story on this, but there was, and I didn't know if you caught this one or not. It was in Arkansas, but there was a gentleman from Harrison named Chance Williams that caught a record. Now, this was in Arkansas. He caught on Bull Shoals Lake. Let's see. It was a quillback carp sucker. Measured 22 inches. That thing weighed 8 pounds, which topped the previous record by about a pound. That was on Bull Shoals. That was an Arkansas state record, but that thing was still pretty huge.
Yes.
And they listed several of the other fishing records on Bull Shoals. Not only that, but even in Missouri as well. So if you want good fishing and to set some records, Missouri is definitely a destination, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Table Rock's beautiful. Bull Shoals is beautiful. I mean, we even have Taney Como. That's got the trout as well. So.
Yeah. Now, paddlefish season is still open for a little bit, is it not?
It is. It's going to run until April 30th. So you still got about another month. If you haven't been out yet, you still got some chances to get out there.
That's right. And what are the limits on those again? You remember?
So it's going to depend on what waterway you're on. If you're on Table Rock, the limit's 34 inches. I mean, it kind of depends on what waterway you're on. So a good place to find that is our website, mdc.mo.gov. You can also, we've came out with our new fishing regulations booklets. You can also pick up one of those at the Southwest Regional Office or any other of our offices, or most of like Academy Sports, Bass Pro and stuff also carry them, and it'll give you more specifics on the regulations on the specific waterway you're on.
Yeah, but there's still time to go, about another month and a half before you have to calm down. Maybe, I was going to say, maybe you can top that record. I don't know if you're going to be able to top that record on Lake of the Ozarks, but you can still get you a pretty good one.
As yes.
Certainly Missouri is high for that. Well, we talked about, we had this conversation a little bit. Actually, your colleague from Christian County, Alex Walker, was in last week. We talked a little bit about this, but we do have another prime hunting season that's right on our doorstep, correct?
We do. It's coming here. What, 2 or 3 weeks, not too far away. It's going to be spring turkey season. That the youth portion is going to run April 6th and April 7th, and then the normal portion is going to run April 15th through May 5th. So it's quickly approaching.
Right. And I don't think there was anybody's sense of humor that thought, okay, let's start turkey season on April the 15th, because I know something kind of significant happens on April 15th, has to do with taxes or something
yes.
like that. So don't... You know, don't take out your taxes on the turkeys. Please do it within regulation. But just, I don't know, for some reason that seemed, was. It's almost like I said, as I've told everyone else that's been here, I said, you did know that the Missouri Department of Conservation does something special. Go every 4 years, they give you an extra day on your fishing permit. And and I said, no, I know it's leap year, but I'm sure that's something the Conservation Department came up with, right? You know, so.
Yes, I'm not sure how they figured the last day in February, but I guess every 4 years you do get an extra day on that permit.
You do get an extra day. That's courtesy of your Missouri Department of Conservation. There you go. So turkey season is around the corner, and I guess seriously, it is really time for people to make sure that they've got everything ready to go, and certainly know what those permits and things they need to have in hand.
Yes, and I just wanted to point out our regulations did change a little bit from previous years. This year, we've changed it to where if you hunt on private land, you can hunt until sunset on private land. It's still going to stay 1 p.m. on public land, but give those landowners some extra opportunities on private lands to hunt until sunset. That's new for this year.
Yeah, and of course, the other thing is make sure you know what land you're on, and if you are on private land... I don't know. We always have to say this, and it does make common sense. Make sure you have your permission to be there. You know, just don't go on the land, and you know, be sure you know where you're at.
Correct. Yeah, we definitely, as agents, get trespassing calls. Definitely come in more as our big hunting seasons, deer, turkey, stuff like that, opens up. So just make sure that whatever property you're on, you have permission from the landowner. It's always good to get permission from the landowner. If it's leased, probably best to get permission from that landowner just to make sure that you're good to go there, and just watch fence crossings and everything. If you have Onyx or something like that, that's a good way to keep track of what property you're on to make sure you're on the correct property.
Yeah, and even though we still got just under a month before the main season, again, that youth season is just around the corner.
Yes.
I think if my calendar's right, it is 2 weekends from this weekend, if that's right. Yep, it'd be 2 weeks because it's the 5th and the 6th.
Yes.
So there you go. So
it's quickly approaching.
I don't know where the... which is like we talked about earlier. It's hard to believe we're already in March and we're talking about April events coming up. I know another area that we talk about this time of year as we start getting into this, and we've chatted about this a little bit, but people tend to find wildlife. Maybe they think that's abandoned, but really is not at this time, right?
Yes, we're coming into that orphan wildlife season, I guess, if you want to call it. It's not a season, but time of year where everything's having their babies. So we're out there and we see these cute raccoons, cute squirrels, whatever, that maybe we think are orphaned or abandoned, when most of the time they're not. And there are situations that they are, but most of the time they're not abandoned. The parent is afraid of people, and so they'll retreat when you approach, or they're out there getting food for the babies. Mom and babies have to eat, so mom's got to leave the babies behind while she goes to gather food for both of them. So if you see abandoned wildlife, it's best to leave them alone. Usually when humans interfere, it's not a good turnout. So best thing to do is just leave them alone and let wildlife be wildlife.
And that's really a good lesson, because that is and I think maybe in all the years I've done these reports for all the agents, that's maybe one thing I've learned that's maybe at the top of the list, is that is actually a natural occurrence when you see wildlife. And we may think, well, they're pretty vulnerable there, but in reality the mama has chosen that site because she feels it's a and it's not only secure, but I think a lot of times in a lot of animals, the mama may not actually be that far away. It's, correct. You know, so she can get back there if she needs to. So it really is good just to kind of let that thing go.
Yeah. Although you may not see mama, like you said, she probably is somewhere in sight still watching those babies. But again, she's got to feed both of them, so she can't be with them all the time.
Okay. I don't think I've told this story on the report, and you mentioned raccoons, and it had nothing to do with wildlife, but I got to say this real quick, because one thing we usually do talk about as we get into this year is if you have outside food, to make sure to secure it. So here, it's been about a month ago, we have in our neighborhood in Branson, mm-hmm. we do have some kitties that are wild, but we kind of help keep them fed, and they're in pretty good shape. And we hope to catch them to be able to help fix them. We haven't been able to get that done yet, but we keep them there. So anyway, we keep a container of food that we keep secured on our mm-hmm. porch, so we can, because we keep it separate from the food that we have for our kitties inside the house. So we're trying to get to sleep one night, and all of a sudden we hear this racket outside, and so I go, what in the world is that? So I go outside and look. So a raccoon has come up on our porch and is pawing away at that container food. Now, could not get in it, and as soon as I got out there, it scurried to parts unknown. But even today, that container still has all the paw marks that raccoon tried to get in there,
yes.
to get that food. Now, what we did we actually had a spot we could put it under a table, which made more sense, and so we put it in there where nothing can get to it now. But it was just like, so I was like, well, I'm glad we had that food secured, yes. outside, you know, because the kitties had already eaten theirs. But it's just like, so especially as we get into season with birds and stuff like this, if you got food outside, you need to have that contained, don't you?
Yeah, that brings up another good point. I mean, along with orphaned wildlife, we also have nuisance bears call time of year coming up as well. They're coming out of their hibernation. So same type of thing, like the raccoon wanted to get into your cat food. If you live in a big bear area and you've got any food out on your porch or freezers or birdseed, even probably a good time of year to put it up for a little bit, just to make sure that we don't have any nuisance wildlife issues.
I have never seen a bear try to get at food. I mean, I've seen videos, but never in person. That bear is going to have to work awful hard to outwork the raccoon that I saw,
yes,
in our neighborhood.
Yes,
I have to give that raccoon credit. He tried, but luckily we had it secured. But just,
yes.
keep everything secured and keep everything going. Hey,
yes.
you know, one thing we've talked about recently, and it's been good news, even though we're still a little behind on rainfall. For the most part, a lot of our streams and rivers have kind of been at decent levels, which is good, which leads to people wanting to go out and do some maybe floating, doing those type of things. But we also need to make sure everyone's safe while they do that.
We do. As we have floating season coming up, as we're getting into the 70-degree weather, rivers are still a little low, but hopefully we'll get some rainfall and get them up a little bit to make it perfect condition to do some kayaking or canoeing.
Right.
As you're out on those rivers, we just want to stress that you need to have a life jacket on you. You don't have to have it if you're over 7 years old. You don't have to have it physically on. You just have to have it with you where it's accessible. Under 7 does have to have it on at all times on the waterway. That's one of the most important things as we're coming into this season, to make sure that you have a life jacket. Things can happen in a blink of an eye, so that life jacket can save your life.
Would you say, and again, we know what the regulation is, but would you say that if someone is out on the water, it's probably just a good idea anyway to have the life jacket on?
It is. Every time I know I'm out on the water, I have one. Like I said, anything can happen in a blink of an eye, so I rather have that life jacket to hold on to if I need to than not. And it's one of my biggest pet peeves, mm-hmm. is not having a life jacket, so it can save your life.
Yes, and just make sure to have it and make sure it's secure and all those things. And that would be something, you know, we always talk about there being first-time people outside. If there's, you know, maybe you're out and about and you say, you know, hey, I'm doing this for the first time and I've got a life jacket, but I'm not sure if everything's okay. If you see, whether it's a conservation agent, maybe the Coast Guard, et cetera, whoever, an official out there, they'd be more than happy to answer your question and say, hey, am I doing this right? Am I taking this? Because they'd rather be answering questions than trying to help you when you haven't done it, right?
Correct. Yeah, better to ask questions from the get-go. And you can call us, you can call Highway Patrol, anybody that works in the water would be more than happy to help.
Yeah, get you that information and make it safe. And we are hoping that we're about to get in a little bit of a nice little pattern here.
Yes.
To where the waters are up. I do, for our sister station in Arkansas, I do a daily report about the Buffalo National River. And actually, with the rainfall we had last week, the majority of floating areas are actually decent right now, which was not the case down there last year. It was really rough, and I know it was on the James River up here and some of the other, probably up on the Finley up in your part of the woods. Mm-hmm. Probably wasn't a lot of great floating last year, was there?
No, I didn't get out a ton last year, but I know our waters, either they're really high or really low, it seemed like, so...
Yeah, and it really high sometimes, that leads to other problems.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, hit those sweet spots as possible. And we're hoping to get just enough rainfall to be able to do that. We actually had a report on our news on our website today that the U.S. Drought Monitor shows we're kind of at an abnormally dry level, which doesn't impact the rivers that much, but it does lead to something I want to hit on real quick before we wrap up, and that is we still have relatively dry conditions, and fires are a little bit tedious. We've had some, not only some red flag warnings, but just some advisories against burning. Probably a good idea to be very cautious about that for a while.
Yes, make sure, I don't know if you, where exactly you can check, but make sure that you check before you're burning what the conditions are that day. If it's a red flag day, make sure we're not burning that day. And even if you are burning and it's not a red flag day, make sure that you have a backup plan in case something were to happen.
Yeah, National Weather Service does have that information. I'm thinking maybe even the U.S. Forestry Service will have that for you as well, because they will get those conditions out and about to you. Well, we've covered a lot of stuff here today, and I know it's isn't it exciting to kind of get into where the weather's warmer is? We're
yes.
really kind of pumped up here.
Yes, I'm not a fan of the winter time, so as we have these seasons coming up and we're seeing more people out and about, definitely enjoy it.
That's right. Well, if those people are out and about, they can still help you though, right?
Correct. Again, we can't do our job without the public's help. There's only one to two of us, and not even, some counties don't even have an agent. So without the public's help, we could not do our job effectively. A good way to reach us is you can find all of our numbers on mdc.mo.gov. You'll have local contacts. Another way, if you witness or suspect a wildlife violation, you can report it to us, or you can also call the Operation Game Thief number, which is going to be 800-392-1111. Again, that's our Operation Game Thief number. It's going to be open 24 hours. You can also, through that line, remain anonymous. So if you choose, want to remain anonymous and not call your local conservation agent, that's a good number to call. Again, it's Operation Game Thief at 800-392-1111.
And we've said this often, if you're going to be out and about and love the outdoors, I would probably have your agent's numbers in the area you're going to be, which again you can get on the website, and even Operation Game Thief, have those just on your phone so you can get to them automatically and get a lot of questions answered. Kayla, it was good seeing you again, especially on a day where it's kind of actually warm and we're kind of getting into great outdoor weather here. So
yes, enjoy the beautiful weather.
Absolutely. Michaela, thanks, we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Michaela Leppard, one of the Christian County agents for the Missouri Department of Conservation, delivering this week's conservation report. And that does wrap up our conservation report for this week here on the At Your Service podcast. Again, thanks to Michaela Leppard from Christian County for coming in and visiting with us today. A lot happening in the outdoors as that weather gets warmer, and we'll have, of course, a weekly visit with the Conservation Department here, plus our other podcast, not only on this show, but throughout the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley. We'll talk to you again soon.